April 16, 2021. It's the Wap Pedro Show. Swap for Pedro show. Happy Friday. Started off with John Coltrane. John Coltrane with the Eric Dolphy live in Copenhagen, 1961. Every time we say goodbye. Then Josh Cater with Megan. Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Quit quarantine mode, but I'm not totally man alone. Because of those engineers in Estonia with their Skype software, I got Mr. Josh Cater on board. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And, well, let's get right to your, I think we shared a stage once in Massachusetts. Might have been Boston. Maybe Smoking Popes. Somehow it rings a bell in my head, but memory is so fucking lame, you know, that's kind of a good thing about Alzheimer's. You're always meeting new people hearing new songs.
I don't have a recollection of sharing a stage with you, but I've seen you perform a few times.
Yeah, I think it was at a place called, it was mainly a stand-up comedy called Paradise. It was by the school, Boston College.
Was it in the 90s?
yeah, it was a while ago.
The 90s are a blur to me, Mike.
The 2000s are also last week. But anyway, let's get enough about Watt. Let's get Josh right into your music journey.
Okay.
Please bring the earliest musical recollection you have. Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Oh, that's a relief. My earliest musical memories were probably just listening to some of my dad's records. Like he had a lot of albums, and he had, in the living room, he had the record player set up on these kind of shelves. And then his vinyl albums were all on the bottom shelf. And he had like a couple hundred of them, and, just a variety of styles and stuff. And he would let us listen to him, and he was always playing music. Like it was like, you know, on Twin Peaks, when the guy says, you know, where I'm from, there's always music in the air. It was like,
I can't remember that part, but it probably was in there, 'cause there was all kinds of trippy shit. He had hundreds of records on the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
But what was on the other shelves?
Knickknacks.
Okay. Because, I mean, that's a big fucking shelf.
Well, it was more than one shelf. He had a few different shelving units just with records everywhere. And, we were listening to a lot of stuff. He had, like, all the Beatles and Stones and Zeppelin and stuff. And probably one of the earliest memories that really sticks with me was listening to, being a little kid and listening to Zeppelin 2. And like that psychedelic breakdown that's in Whole Lot of Love, where Plant just starts moaning and screaming, and then Paige is making that sound, which I now know is produced by a theremin. But at the time, I had no idea. It just sounded to me like the guy was caught in like a thunderstorm in the middle of the woods or something, and there were trees creaking in the background. It was a very vivid mental picture, and I remember being so struck by, like, listening to, you know, music on this piece of plastic, but it can take you into a world that can even be frightening and can really create mental pictures in the mind of the listener. And so I think that's when I started to open up to the possibilities of recorded music.
Yeah, you didn't know that they stole that lick from Willie Dixon, huh?
Well, they
had to pay for it. Well, you probably fucking learned their names later too. You didn't know any, but probably the lowest shelf. Those are where you could reach.
Yeah.
So that was bitching at him instead of putting the fucking knickknacks on the deck and the records up high.
Right.
Yeah. So blessed be your father for being. Now, was he just a listener, or did he play too?
Played a little bit. He had a guitar, like a nylon string guitar. He wasn't particularly great at it, but he would get these books of, you know, like song books, and he would sometimes bust that out and start playing some songs, and his sons would gather around him in a half circle and sing along with him. And I remember him playing Night Moves by Bob Seger and reading the sheet music, and we were all kind of trying to sing along with him. That's another early memory.
Did you fucking jump on that guitar when he wasn't around?
I messed around with it, yeah, but
well, that's what I meant. I mean, you didn't hurt it or anything, but yeah, did you attempt to play it? Or let's ask this. Was he inclined to get you going on it? And hey, I'll teach you, or I can get you lessons.
Yeah, but it didn't start with guitar because we were over, I was probably in the first grade, and we went over to these people who were friends of the family, and they had a piano in the other room. And so the adults are all eating dinner, and I wander over into the other room and start plunking out a song on the piano by ear. And then I'm doing that for a few minutes, and then I look up, and the adults have all come into that room and gathered around me, and the lady is saying to my parents, he can play that stuff by ear. Nobody taught him that. You should put him in lessons. So they put me in piano lessons, which I took for a couple of years, but I did not want to play the piano. I wanted to play the guitar. So it took a few years of me sort of rebelling against my never practicing the piano for them to figure out. They didn't have to force me into piano lessons. They should give me a different instrument.
Was it the piano or was it the teacher?
It was the piano. The teacher.
A lot of times people on the show, they have horrible experience with piano teachers. I don't know why. Not everyone, but what about at school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No.
Okay.
I never did any of that.
No, I asked because, well, some schools fucking got rid of that shit. Terrible.
I just knew that was not a musical style that I was interested in. So I didn't want to play, you know, a horn, like marching around with a costume on. You know, I wanted to be.
Yeah, but there's other school bands, too. Sometimes they sit in chairs and they act like it's a jazz band or it's a classical band. It ain't always marching in the fucking funny suits, although that's a lot of it. And then choir, right? You can fucking do that at church, too. I mean, a lot of rock and rollers learn how to sing in church. So that's why I ask stuff like that. I'm just curious. What about the first record you bought with your own money, Josh?
First record I bought with my own money was Thin Lizzy's Jailbreak.
Yeah, I got that one when it came out. The kind of comic book cover. And the good year, too.
It was cover that did it for me. I was at a garage sale next door and looking through the records. They had like a bin full of records. And I'd never heard of Thin Lizzy. But that cover, it was like there's like this robot head sort of floating over this TV where these guys are running away from an explosion.
Breaking out, right? That,
if
you know,
the music if exciting as the picture, then it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, but if you listen to the words, I mean, they're incredibly bizarre in that song. Hey, good-looking female.
Yeah.
know, tonight there's going to be a jailbreak somewhere in this town. Well, where it's probably town, near where
it might be.
Yeah, but it's probably near where the jail is. It's not somewhere. It's going to be where the fucking jail. Anyway, I love the cat. I mean, and the main man was a bass player. I mean, you know, and then seeing him live, I saw the gig, and he had a mirror pick guard, so he would like shine the lights in your eyes.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
He was
incredible.
Saw
them back in the day when the original lineup.
The original, they were a trio at first. By the time I saw them, they had a U.S. guy. There were four guys, and it's when that album came out. Anyway, enough about Wyatt. It's about you, Josh. So, what about the first gig you went and saw?
The first gig, well, I'll delineate between the first gig I was ever taken to was Kenny Rogers and Dottie West.
All right. Georgie got a Dottie West, the drummer, had sold his anvil case for his hardware. Georgie had bought it.
Okay.
I remember the painting. It was stenciled right on there. Okay. And then, like, you were taken. So you want to tell me the one that you chose yourself?
The one I chose myself was when I was, like, 13, I got two tickets as a gift for my dad on Father's Day. I got two tickets to see Joe Jackson. And it was he was touring on this album called Big World. And we got lawn seats, and so that was like the first on-purpose concert I ever went to was Joe Jackson.
Okay.
It was great.
I want to play My Funny Valentine.
Cool.
It's not the Miles Davis one.
My Funny Valentine is comic Valentine. You make me smile with my heart. Your looks are laughable, unphotographable, but you're my you care for me. Thank you.
La partida posición fuerte.
It all started with a
so I mean I've seen you like grind.
Yo tengo trampa, boludo.
What does that mean?
And then walk it.
Wait, you saying we're gonna lose?
Probably.
I just want to go. I literally haven't left the house yet today.
2 minutes.
Why are you at...
Hi, guys.
I know, right?
You call me Nozomi. Aw, thank you so much, Lena.
I'm not even gapping.
I just want to say congrats on all your success lately.
Huh?
I just remember 2 months ago.
Uh-oh!
I went on my...
Vamos, vamos, más ruta.
Oh, the grenade thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Usually the only
we're
game
just
that I play.
Off that guy's build.
Yeah, I know.
Not bad. No, this is it. Running out the back on.
And I'll grab these.
Ach, nee, Digga. Ach, man, als ob einfach aufmach, Digga.
I'm a keep one.
Yeah, I am a model.
Definitely a yes.
Bayou.
Definitely a yes.
FYI. Are you fighting?
She's in this dumb proximity, man. I'm trying to figure it out.
That thing is scary.
It gets released, my average views are like 2k minimum.
Vacation, you're like, I can't afford to take a break.
You fight now? There's many of
them.
I have so many assist kills and still one kill. But
baller can
have like at least 2 or 3 assists.
Do you have any bazooka bullets?
Okay.
Drink a mini and let's go kill these losers. Grab those AR
thanks,
bullets.
Luna, I really
Thank you.
Hi, hello.
Yeah, hold on.
Hey, y'all really out here making me think about posting.
Yeah, I didn't carry this proximity thing.
That's on you.
I don't have bullets to kill it.
That sounded so satisfying. The follower.
That's
a good shot, yeah.
You don't think I can do it?
Friday
might die.
I think I...
Hey, what up?
Yo, was ist denn los da Johnny, Alter?
Like, let's just say if the cockpit gets released, chat,
are
these? I'm going to keep 100. Kids. The lady fan base, it's probably going up by at least like 80%. I'm going to keep 100.
I don't know.
Community. Like, I don't know. I forgot exactly what you said verbatim, but...
So basically like Octopus, but without your throat getting
stuck. That's fucking...
She's still awesome. She's got a
right... Yeah, I got...
I'll grab it.
I got
carrying three snipers for the shot.
Can you just wait? I'm sorry. I'm
back
in the last game.
Stop moving.
Oh! What?
Glad brought you food.
Okay. It's me.
Rel Stack, what's up? Would you ever do another dual touch with Nine?
Run your side.
No.
Just
I kind of figured out like why I don't want
to be there by myself.
Oh, they're
better than me. Alright. Because if I upload...
Where are they going to eat?
I don't fucking know, but they're not winning.
How was she fucking teasing?
They ran.
Okay.
Right there. But if I started clapping...
Yeah? Wait, is Tifu rapping right now?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought Big Deal. Tell Big Deal I want to hear some more.
Not watching me. Yeah.
Are they in that build? Oh, I see. Okay. Oh.
Probably
Do you have any AR bullets?
Yeah. Can't split though.
I mean, you gotta think about it like that. That could happen.
Fun, so. Haven't been.
That's a shot. That seriously is a shot.
This is dangerous.
This is dangerous.
Oh, crap. I'm so scary. Thank you.
Where is the guy on you?
Yeah.
So there's a guy in the house.
With anyone? Like, for example, like, I don't want to ever collab with someone whose clips are...
Wait, did you take them down? Oh, nice. The other guy's in the house.
He definitely helped more than it would hurt.
We gotta go back. We gotta go
the
back.
Dance floor.
He's in the back. He went inside.
It would definitely help me more than it would hurt.
Come on. This side.
Got it.
No, you're not.
With people that had better sets than me. Okay. Can you imagine? He's like, imagine like people like watch the clips and we're.
Thank you.
Thank you. forever be a beggar.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with Josh Cater doing My Funny Valentine, not the Miles Davis one, the Josh Cater one. And then we had Marco Serrato, Raul Cadenzano out of Seville. Seville. The barber of Seville. But Spain. With Cuerda Pela. And beautiful stuff. Flamenco guitar, stand-up bass. My favorite twofer. De Boomer's big flamenco fan. God, my voice is... Bob Pollard's got a new album, right? It's that time of the week. He's so prolific. I can't believe. Okay, Ant Repellent. Modern Blonde, brand new. Totems in the Night. Network Glass from Baltimore with 510. Amazing. His name's Dor, and fuck, can he? Creative cat, man. Bombus Prendon after that, Underwater Kiss. This is a band that did about 6,000 songs in 40 years, maybe 5 gigs. But they're still putting out stuff. Joe Cardamone from his Quarantina series, Part 8, Right Theme. And that's R-I-T-E, not the correct theme, but got a ritual, right? Tommy Dahill out of Alaska with this is Gaelic. Sorry for slaughtering another language, people. I don't mean to. So Hatten por Taragata. Trigger Cut from Germany with King Angst. And finally, Josh Cater, Rags to Riches. Okay, so you fucking get the... Now, when you get a guitar, you don't get a nylon string acoustic, right? You get an electric with an amp.
Yeah. Well, again, credit to my dad. He bought us our first instruments. And the first stuff that we got was made by a company called Aria, A-R-I-A. And he got my brother a guitar, Aria Pro 2, and he got me a bass. And they were like the same... shape, but one of them was a
guitar. I thought you wanted guitar. Why'd he get you a bass?
Well, because okay, my brother was older, and he
I'm feeling a little prejudice here. progenitor he issue.
He was always getting preferential treatment.
Yeah,
so he
what's that about? So I was starting to like your pop too. Well, no, that's okay.
Well, you know, eventually I prevailed in the guitar department just because I played it more. Like, I kept...
What happened to the bass?
The bass? We kept these instruments around, but I just sort of, over time, naturally gravitated towards the guitar.
Okay, and then so nobody played it. It wasn't like he took it over. It just got abandoned.
Well, what we had in the basement was this situation where we had like different stations set up where we had a drum kit, we had a bass with an amp, and we had a guitar with an amp, and there's three boys in the family, and we all could play all of them. So we would just jam on a tune, and then we would stand up and we would rotate one position, and we would pick up a different instrument and we would play more songs. So all of us could play all those instruments, but when it came time for us to start a band and really play out, the question was, who can play and sing at the same time without having to look down at your hands? And I was the only one that could successfully do that. So I earned the position of lead singer in the band. And then my older brother, who had originally been the guitar player, then officially became the bass player in that band.
Okay, so it didn't get abandoned. And I guess the other brother went on to the fucking drums, right? But that is so great that you all learned how to play drums, because I think if you could play drums, you could play all the other instruments even better.
Oh, I agree.
You know what I mean? I wish drumming was part of, like we were talking about school and music. If they were going to do any music in school besides, you know, supporting the football team with those silly outfits, drum! I would go to the games and support that if, you know, we were all on drums or taking turns. Anyway, just wishful thinking. So the first band you're in is actually a band with your brothers.
No, we just played in the basement.
Well, that's kind of a band. It's a band that never did gigs, but at least you played.
Yeah. Well,
no, I mean, right? Whenever you play, you're fucking practicing for the next time you play, right?
That's true.
Yeah, it's
that's
not true. Wasted. Never wasted. Okay, so what about after
the
school?
Band,
I'm not talking about graduated. I'm talking about, like, afternoon. You get out of school. And you got sounds like you guys got a practice pad right in your own basement. So do you invite cats from your class? Is this like your first bands?
Yeah, but we would not invite groups of people. It would be like one or the other of us would have a friend over to watch. It's not like we had basement shows. That came later.
No, I was talking about another band, a real band, because you don't want to make a band with your brothers, right? You just practice with them.
Oh, well, no, my brothers ended up being in the Smoking Popes with me.
Ah, so you did make a band. I'm trying to understand what you're telling me, Josh.
I'm working on my communication skills.
So they end up in the band, and in fact, they end up following you. You're the fucking rudder man, right? Maybe being the vocalist. Maybe because you're the singer, because you probably start writing the words and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although they can both sing. It's just like, it just sort of happened.
But they
that
can't
way.
Look, they can't sing and not look at their hands.
That was the key.
That's what they were missing. That's bitching. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, Josh. April 16, 2021, Dish Wap Peter Show, special guest, Josh Cater. Hold tight for hour two. April 16, 2021, it's the second hour of the Wap Peter Show.
Into your heart. is talking about the end of days. They ask me what I'm thinking, but I just don't know what to say. Guess I'm hoping that these dreadful feelings will go away. Ay, ay, ay. Everybody's talking about the end of days. And baby, are we living through the end times? If so, I just wanna know your place or mine. I'm up here in the hills trying to make these verses rhyme. Baby, are we living through the end times? Everybody's saying how it's such a shame. And everybody's wondering if it's too late, or have we sealed our fates? 'Cause everybody's saying how it's such a shame. And everybody's out there choosing a side, saying I have to decide, but I just want to run and hide. Everybody's out there beating on their chests, and all I wanna do is rest. Maybe catch some of the test. And do you pray to heaven that your soul be saved? Face up to the future of the human race with an unflinching gaze. 'Cause everybody's talking about the end of days.
Thank you. just for fun.
Like the Pedro Show. Start off the second hour. Josh Cater, Need You Around. Ben Salter after that, End of Days. Then Lucas Sabella, Closed. Water Boogie System, Babies. And Smoking Popes. There they are. Seven Lonely Days. So when you guys were taking turns at different stations and stuff like that in the basement, were you copying songs off records, or were you trying to write your own stuff?
We started by copying songs, and we started with the Ramones because that seemed pretty doable. Just bar chords, not really any solos, so you can just start with just power chords.
Well, power chords, yeah, the root and the fifth on the top of the bar. You know the bar, right? It's a guy's name, actually.
The bar?
But it looks like, it's got an E at the end, right? But you make the index finger kind of like a bar, so that's what me and T-Boone thought. Look, me and T-Boone did the same thing. We learned off records because there just was no culture writing songs right away. But I have people on the show these days, as soon as they start playing, they start writing, so that's why I asked that question. Do you remember the first song you wrote, Josh?
Yes, I do. It was a song called Melvin Was an Embalmer.
And I bet you I know what it's about.
Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
It's probably about a dude named Melvin and his work.
It was loosely based on a guy that we actually knew.
Wow. Okay, so kind of a docudrama.
But I just changed his name.
Oh, that was...
So I wouldn't get in trouble.
Yeah, that was smart. But you know what? In another way, he might have been grateful to you down the road. Like, man, you immortalized my job.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, but we'll never know.
Bombers don't get a lot of action in songs, you know?
Well, it depends.
Like,
I bet you the Misfits made a lot of room for them. What about the first gig you did with your brothers? Where was that?
Oh, the first gig. Okay, we started a band like before it turned into the Smoking Popes. We called our band Speed Stick, and it was like
deodorant.
Right.
No, right? Wasn't that a trade name of a deodorant?
It was, but, you know, we weren't too worried about getting sued. We were just playing in people's
basements. That's okay.
So it was a basement gig over at this kid I went to high school with. His name was Jeremy, and he was having a sort of an impromptu show at his house because his parents were going out for the evening on like Friday.
Yeah.
And he knew about it on like Tuesday. So he was telling everybody, hey, I'm going to have a couple bands play in my basement before my parents get home. So they're supposed to never know about it. So I went home from school and I told my brothers like, hey, you know, like we should play like, we've been jamming and, you know, at home forever, but like, let's actually play at this thing and be a band. And so we came up with the name Speed Stick and, you know, put some songs together. And that was our first.
Was it a success?
Yeah, well.
I mean, they didn't throw shit.
Started playing, they started a pit.
Okay, that's success.
And that was success.
Yeah,
and that
absolutely.
Was, like, we were hooked, right? Like, if we can make people swirl around like that, that's a great power. We want to keep doing that.
I'll tell you, a sign that ain't going good is like when some motherfucker grabs your guitar and plays Black Dog better than you can and shames you in front of everybody. That's what shit would happen here in Pedro in the 70s. Look, I want to play another Smoking Popes tune. Pretty pathetic.
You should have heard me sobbing as I drove home that night. Got in the bed and stayed there. For days I just laid there, having been permanently changed. But we won't get into that now. Let's take it from the start. You should have seen me smiling. life the world was mine. She used to call me baby, softly, sometimes. But if I dwell on those days too long, I feel like my life is over, and that's no good, so let's move on. To the part where I begin. Determined to reignite some spark between us, she had to feel something for me. A love as strong as ours doesn't just go away. You can't just turn it off unless she was lying all those times. But I don't think so. I really don't think so. The way she used to look at me made me a thousand feet high. Pretty awkward things. I got the feeling.
Show. He was, Georgie was actually from a part there called Brockton, Rocky Marciano. Yeah. I think they made shoes there or something. He was born there. He wasn't Peter. None of us Minutemen was born in Peter. Look, we heard a Pretty Pathetic from Smoking Popes and then a bunch of stuff from Bari in Italy, you know, the heel part is. Benko from Due Semi Col Cies Invertidas. Thank you for fucking having 50 letters in your name. El Cloro after that with Arvel. All I Want to Do Is Sit Down and Cry from Miramo, Victor. El Sob. Appropriate. Silence is even sexier. And then Smoking Popes, When You Want Something. How long did the Smoking Popes go?
Well, we started in 91. And then in 98... We hung it up for a while, and I think we took 7 years off, and then we came back in 2005, and we're technically still going, although we haven't played a show in about a year and a half.
Okay, so it's just, the band never died, it just goes into like periods of hibernation.
Hibernation, that's
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, yeah. And mainly same cats, right, you and your brothers?
Yes, my older brother plays bass, as we have discussed. Younger brother, who played drums at one time originally, now plays second guitar or other guitar. I mean, we trade leads. And then we have a drummer, and we have had a few drummers over the years, but we're now back with the guy who was our main drummer, sort of like original lineup guy.
Well, after your little brother stopped playing drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Kind of original. Now, I just ask about that. And, you know, that's kind of neat that they're flexible enough to do that. Because I know you're doing, you know, I played some music here that's not called Smoking Popes. It's called Josh Carter. So you start doing stuff under your own name, right?
Yeah, just over this last year, like during the lockdown, you know, the Popes had gigs scheduled, but everything got canceled, obviously, and so...
Or postponed.
Oh, postponed, yeah.
Be a little optimistic. I mean,
yeah, we will...
Be a little optimistic.
But I took the opportunity to kind of start messing around with some other stuff, and a couple other guys...
You mean you never before, you always gave all your songs to the Smoking Popes?
I had, you know, while the Smoking Popes were broken up, I put another band together called Duval, and we put a record out. But, you know, one of my brothers was in that band with me, and the drummer from the Popes was in it for a while. So I've always been kind of playing with basically the same guys in different
formats. I'm curious, you didn't give me any Duval songs.
Yeah, I couldn't find it on Apple Music.
Okay. That's okay. It's not like you're embarrassed.
No, if I had been able to find it, I would have said
okay, okay. And the difference between Duval and Smoking Popes is?
Is, it's just slightly different lineup. on the album. We had a different guy playing drums, and also it was a different kind of lyrical focus
on your part,
on my part, because I had quit the Smoking Popes as a result of kind of a religious slash spiritual sort of direction that I was going in my life. So I took and which I still am going, but it was at the time I sort of quit the band to focus on that. And a few years later, put this other band together called Duval, which was like it sonically was similar to the Popes, but it was a way for me to sort of write lyrics that were expressing more of these religious notions that I was wrestling with at the time. So it was like a kind of a Christian version of the Smoking Popes.
And when you called your band Smoking Popes, there was no religion involved?
No, other than that we wanted to have religious imagery in there because we thought it was cool. Because one of our favorite bands was the Screaming Blue Messiahs. You remember those guys?
I think so. A power trio from England?
Yes. And they had a hit called I Want to Be a Flintstone.
I don't even... It's a good title, though.
I think the guitar man,
what I remember that band was the guitar man was kind of like Wilco Johnson from Dr. Feelgood. He played a really kind of... D. Boone was kind of into this. And the guy, Gareth, in the pop group. Yeah, they played this... You know who copied this style? Was the guy who ended up in the Gang of Four.
Okay.
The only guy left, I guess. He just passed away maybe a year ago. And it was a weird kind of way of playing, really percussive, you know? The left hand, it was more about the right hand. Kind of like a Pete Townsend thing, but more like crazy ass.
Well, he didn't use a pick. He was just hitting...
Okay. Then this is the same band. And that's what I remember of him. So you were trying to do that musically more than... The Popes is more like, Smoking Popes is more like Descendants, right?
Yeah, I mean, we love the Descendants. I don't know if we...
I'm not saying you're a Descendants band, but I mean, vis-a-vis the Screaming Blue Messiah.
Yeah, Screaming Blue Messiahs.
Oh, Messiah, the religious word, Popes. Oh, yeah, okay. I'm a slow learner, Josh. Okay, so in a way, it was kind of... ironic, sarcastic, but in another way, it led to your calling.
I guess so. Yeah, it's been a journey.
Yeah, life's a trip like that. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, April 16, 2021, Dish Watt Pedro Show special guest Josh Carter. Hold tight for hour three. March 16, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
If you don't care, I don't care. We don't belong together, 'cause we don't belong anywhere. If you're not sure, I'm not sure what all these tears are falling for. Let's decide not to care anymore. Awake in a whitewashed tomb, awaiting the
Let me in with my face.
should like to ride the seas, a roaring buccaneer, a cutlass banging at my knees, a dirk behind my ear. And when my captive's chains would clank, I'd howl with glee and drink, and then fling out the quivering plank, and watch the beggars sink. I'd like to straddle gory decks and dig in laden sand, and know the feel of throbbing necks between my knotted hands. Oh, I should like to strut and curse among my blackguard crew, but I am writing little verse, as little ladies do. I am writing little verse, as little ladies do. Oh, I should like to dance and laugh, and pose and preen and sway, and rip the hearts of men in half, and toss the bits away. I'd like to view the reeling years through unastonished eyes, and dip my fingertips in tears, and give my smiles for sighs. I'd stroll beyond the ancient bounds, and tap at fastened gates, and hear the prettiest of sounds, the clink of shattered fates. My slaves I'd like to bind with thongs that cut and burn and chill, but I am writing little songs, as little ladies will. I am writing little songs, as little ladies will.
Waiting for your hand to lead.
Watch for Beatles. Shall we start off the third hour? Smoking Popes, If You Don't Care. Glimpse Trio with Ride after that. Murder by Death, Big Dark Love. Murdered Man, Toil and Toil. No, Toil and Toll. Wovet after that. Their band, Practice. And Miriam Gendon with the Song of Perfect Propriety. And finally, I Know You Love Me, Smoking Popes. Okay, and Duvall, did the actor have some influence on that name?
Yeah, we were named after Robert Duvall.
Okay. Which, I think he had a heart attack on the set.
Of what?
Apocalypse Now, right?
No, that was...
Sheen?
That was...
Martin Sheen. Yeah, somebody did. I mean, that movie, right? The Mr. Coppola's wife made a movie about the movie, and so much crazy shit. Okay. But he did play the fucking crazy...
Yeah, he was
commander
the,
that likes to surf.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning guy. That was Robert
Charlie Don't Surf.
Charlie Don't Surf. But naming the band after him was more of a reference to this other movie that he did called The Apostle.
Oh, right.
Which is such a brilliant movie.
I didn't see it, but he got a lot of accolade. I should see that. It's kind of a one-man show, right?
It's really worth seeing. Yeah, he wrote it and directed it and starred it.
Yeah. And I think every time I've seen him in something, I've really liked him and stuff. And that's beautiful that you tribute to him like that. But you end it and you go back with your brothers. No, actually, you took advantage or whatever. You made some hay with the situation and did a Josh Carter solo thing. And where'd you record it?
The album is called The Hideout Sessions. It was recorded at this club in Chicago called The Hideout. So last October we did a virtual show there, and we just took the audio from it into a studio, had it mixed, and released it as a kind of a live album without an audience, which actually is kind of the same thing that Joe Jackson did for that Big World album I was telling you about. Like, I don't know if you're aware of that, but he recorded that album.
The biggest Joe Jackson fan. I mean, the guy can sing, and he always had good guys in his band. Like, kind of Elvis Costello thing, right? New wave.
Right, but he recorded that album at a club in New York, and he had, you know, there was an audience there, but he, like, told them all to, like, be quiet. So he would, so all the songs on the album are complete takes of a song that were, you know, recorded on stage at this club. But the sound quality is really good because there's no audience noise. And so that's kind of the same effect that we ended up, you know, that's what I had in mind when we did this Hideout Sessions album. So you're getting live performances that are all complete takes, and there's no, you know, punches or overdubs or anything like that. But there's also no audience. So it's like kind of a crisp.
No, there is audience. You just were quiet.
Well, yeah. I mean, we had a camera person in there and a couple of sound people.
Oh, it was Joe Jackson who told his audience to be quiet.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah. Now I understand. Because playing in front of a crowd like that probably was, yeah, even if they don't make noise, it's still, you know, you're working the room. And I could see something to that. You know. In a way, a lot of recording sessions are gigs in front of the microphones, huh? But you never got to play these tunes in front of people, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I hope that I will be able to do that in the not-too-distant future.
Well, who's going to be the band? Is it going to be Smoking Pope people?
No, it's these guys that I'm playing with are a couple other guys that I've known for a long time, but I've never played with them before. It's John Perrin, who plays drums in a band called NRBQ. And John San Juan, who is in a band called the Hush Drops. And these are guys that I've just known around the Chicago scene for a long time, but I've admired their work, but I never played with them before. And so during the lockdown, I just called them up and I was like, hey, look, we're not doing anything else. Maybe we could find a place, if we can find a practice space that's big enough where we can be distanced from each other, we could safely make some music together. Let's do that and just sort of see what happens. And it ended up becoming this show that we did at the Hideout and this record. And now we're going to do another one.
Really? Because you gave me a lot of Smoking Pope stuff. Like, I want to play right now. Gotta know right now.
friend, I want to smell you again. Bus boyfriend, I want to smell you again. Bus boyfriend. Craigslist, missed connections. This was months ago. We only rode the bus together 3 times. You wore drab, grayish-blue clothes that were slightly baggy. I had chin-length brown hair and cute sunglasses. I was holding a cup of coffee that kept spouting forth like a caffeinated geyser from the tiny sippy hole on the top, scalding my hands as I attempted in vain to dry off with a flimsy, recycled paper napkin.
Bus boyfriend, I want to smell you again.
Bus boyfriend, I want to smell you again.
Bus boyfriend.
Want you,
but you sat next to me. There was genuine sexual tension, which is rare in this city, and even rarer on the bus. You smelled really, 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 really good. I didn't make eye contact, although I took off my glasses so you wouldn't think I looked like a spy. I didn't make conversation. I just smelled you the whole way downtown.
Do you? Thank you.
I can still recall the day when her smile melted my world away. If I knew the price we'd have to pay, I'd have fallen just the same. Death was waiting in her room, and she kissed me in the face of doom. Taste of salty tears and sweet perfume, and the music of her away in separate cells, publicly condemned to private hells. There are secrets that she never tells, and I knew them all somehow. When at last they set us free, the parasites would never let us be. I believe that she wants me. That it's not supposed to be about you, but I saw you perform one time. I want to see if you remember this show. It was in New York, and I think it was part of the CMJ festival, and you played immediately after Rick Ocasek.
It was called the Elbow Room. It's in Manhattan, and it was the first time I played Complaint in the Engine Room, my first opera for people. Mm-hmm. I used a pawn shop bass that I'd never played before. Man, it was tough. And Joe Bizzo was on guitar, and Steve Hodges was on drums. And the guy you're talking about, he's a Boston guy, right? he stalled. He wouldn't go on. And I remember doing laps around the club, like, when's this guy going to go on? I want to play.
Yeah.
So that's what I remember. I mean, he was a pants shooter. There's a lot of parts. It was a very emotional piece for me.
Yeah.
Let's tell the people. We just heard Smoking Popes, Got to Know Right Now. Then Veda Hill, something live out of Vancouver, Bus Boyfriend. She told me what they did was they made songs on the spot out of Craigslist ads. That's the lyrics. Yeah. And then V Vile. Well, actually, it's two V's next to each other, so, you know, which is the old way of doing a W, so maybe it's Wild. Nobody knows. Waku Waku Kingdom after that with the Ego Enzyme. Mac. Yeah, I forgot how he pronounces this. He's a beautiful cat out of Philly. But his band name, he's Max Noy Mach, I think. Fuck, sorry. Bass Murder. And then finally, Smoking Popes. Amanda, My Love. Mm. So, yeah. You still got the Smoking Popes in reserve, though, right? Your brothers, they're ready to play whenever you're ready, right? But you got this Josh Cater under your own name thing.
Yes.
And ready for chapter two.
Yeah.
So those guys are going to have to wait a little bit, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, we can't do, I mean, this record just came out, but we can't do a record release show, you know, that has people at it. So
I don't remember asking you that, but I was asking about your brothers. They're in a holding pattern while you're sowing your oats with these guys.
Right.
But you will return to them, right?
Yeah. It just depends on...
Because, you know, it's a beautiful thing. A band from your teenage years, you can always go back to.
I know. Yeah, it is beautiful. And these are my brothers, so our music and our relationship is all kind of intertwined into this familial tapestry that is beautiful. I mean, I don't take it for granted. I really appreciate it. And I think we really will play again. It's just we kind of wait for certain, like, offers to come in. Like, we're not in a situation where we're going to, like, go out and book a tour. It's more like,
thinking maybe make a record like you did with these guys. There's something about making records. You know, I took it for granted. I used to think they were just fucking flyers for gigs. But I think they're kind of documents now. And I'm so glad you did what you did. And you're still doing it.
Oh, thanks.
Okay? Really, really, Josh. You know, wherever, whatever you go in your life, you kept music part of it. That's beautiful.
And, kind of
inspiring to me. So
if it's in you, it's got to come out. Okay. You know, who was it said that?
I don't know, but that's good. And I like you being on the show. And whether it's chapter two of these guys or going back with your brothers, will you come back on the show when you get it done?
Of course, I would love to. It's an honor to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely, John. Right back at you. I was conceived in Chicago, born in Virginia.
I was born in Virginia, too.
Wow, okay.
But my dad was in the Army.
My pop was a sailor.
I was born at the military base in Fairfax.
Ah, okay. I was Portsmouth.
And I may have been conceived in Chicago. I'm not sure. So maybe we have the same origin story.
Parallel universe.
Yeah.
People, it's been April 16, 2021, Dishwap Peter Show. Keep your powder dry.